The responsive psalm reading today is Psalm 48 on page 782 of the hymnal. It's on two pages. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, whose holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great ruler, within its citadels God has proven a sure defense. For lo, the kings assembled, they marched together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there, anguish as of a woman in travail, as when an east wind shatters the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God establishes forever. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with victory. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go round about it, number its towers. Consider well its ramparts, go through its citadels, that you may tell the next generation. This is God, our God forever and ever. God will be our guide forever.
Our second reading comes from the book 2 Samuel, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, following verses 9 and 10. You can find this on page 267 in the Hebrew Bible or your pew Bible, so follow along if you would. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Look, we are your bone and flesh. For some time while Saul was king over us, it was you who led out Israel and brought it in. The Lord said to you, 'It is you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel, you who shall be ruler over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. David occupied the stronghold and named it the City of David. David built the city all around from Millo inward, and David became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 2 through 10. It can be found on page 174 in your New Testament Pew Bible. I invite you to hear these words of the Apostle Paul. "I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. This comes right on the heels of the stories we read last week about the healings that Jesus was doing. But he changes location this time. You can find this reading on page 38 in the New Testament of your pew Bible. So I welcome you to follow along. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed all that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, you just heard the four readings. And I believe that if you look closely, if you listen closely to all of these scripture readings for today, I think that you'll find that each one deals in some way with the question of power. Divine power or human power, who has it? How is it manifest? What does it mean? David's power, Paul's power, Jesus' power, the disciples' power, God's power. Power. The irony of these lectionary readings hit me this week as I was working on this message. You're following the news just like I am. More than 2 million people throughout the Midwest and the East were without electric power this week. And their lives were severely impacted. This begs the question, how is your life impacted by the power of God or the lack of it? Power is a big part of our North American society, as well as the workings of the whole world. Think about that. Political power, economic power, military power. We don't often hear about or talk about spiritual power, but caring Christian people need to think about it and talk about it as well. The more I thought about God's power this week, as discussed in these various Bible readings, the more I came to the understanding that we are offered more questions than answers. But I believe this is a purposeful outcome on God's part. Just like the parables of Jesus, your understanding of God's power needs to be carefully considered, thought about, prayed over, and pondered. And this rightly ought to be a personal as well as a group effort at discerning God's meaning for your life and for the life of our church. So let me throw out some ideas and pose some questions to you about power. Perhaps the most obvious display of God's power was illustrated in the story of David and Goliath that we looked at a few weeks ago. This is a story of physical and military power. When David invoked God's presence, this unassuming young man was able to defeat the strength and military might of the giant Goliath. And once Saul remembered to whom he answered, the chosen people were able, likewise, to defeat their enemies militarily. We talked about the metaphorical Goliaths in our lives in the 21st century, but I believe in most cases we don't find ourselves raising our fists or killing people in the name of our Lord God. David's military and political powers were again reinforced in today's reading from 2 Samuel. The tribes of Israel came together and agreed that God was indeed the source of David's power and success, and so they asked David to be their king as well. So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. For a third of a century, David was ruler over these two kingdoms. And David became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. God's power was the source of David's military and political power. Paul's second letter to the believers at Corinth can also be challenging and confusing. Paul alludes to this amazing, surreal journey of being caught up to the third heaven, finding himself in paradise, and the things that are not to be told that no mortal is permitted to repeat. Well, he doesn't say this, but we assume that Paul was talking about himself. But he is mysterious in his presentation of these revelations. He is very clear, however, that he was tested. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. We can't be exactly sure what this thorn was that afflicted Paul. There's endless speculation, and it doesn't really matter. Paul had some physical condition that challenged him and pained him, and 3 times he asked God for relief. So God responded in a simple but cryptic manner. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul said, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Jesus himself finds his power questioned and curtailed in this gospel reading from Mark. This story happened, as I mentioned, right after last week's reading, where Jesus cured the woman with hemorrhages and where he brought back Jairus' daughter from death to life. Jesus went back to his hometown, Nazareth, and he found that the local people questioned him. They doubted him. They took offense at him. And they ultimately rejected him. Then Jesus said to them, prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Well, Jesus continued on, walking among the villages and teaching, but then he decided to deputize his 12 disciples. Listen again to this wonderful passage. He called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2. This is the image on the front of your bulletin. and he gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. They were without power. But he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. My sisters and brothers, I firmly believe that this ought to be a description of the work of our church. Missional people following Jesus into the neighborhoods and communities beyond these walls. Throughout these several Bible readings, there have been many things said about power. Military power, political power, human power, and spiritual power. Well, after all that, do you have a clearer understanding of power? Or do you find yourself with more questions now than answers? As I said earlier, your understanding of God's power needs to be carefully considered, thought about, prayed over. But let me offer you a few points that we might all agree upon. The ultimate and real source of any power you may have, the ultimate source is God. Plain and simple. And it might be counterintuitive, but when you rely fully on God, when you are absolutely dependent upon God, when you are at your weakest and most vulnerable, then you will be the strongest. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. If we are to be successful as God's missionary people, then we need to discern what God is already doing among and around us. And we need to follow Jesus afield. We don't need special people. We don't need training or more money or anything else to start. We simply need to trust Jesus and follow him where he leads. My sisters and brothers, listen and hear. I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. Whenever I am weak, then I am strong. God is speaking in a simple and clear message. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Amen.